Galatians chapter 4, chapter 1, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 13. Every so often at home, I get a little thought. I tell the people, it won't be long on this one. All I have is a little thought. And somehow it has a way of growing. That's really the way I feel today. I have a little thought. I hope it grows enough to sound like a message. But I can tell you, whatever I'm going to say, I do feel it down to my toenails today. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate Brother Bass and his good wife and my sister and their family and this good church family. And all this is relative to what I have to say today. Verse 13, Galatians 4:13. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Amen. Everybody say, at the first.
At first.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to read some more scripture at length here. And I'd like for us to go back and maybe start with the first verse. And if you'll be patient with me just a few moments, I want to preach a little something here. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, deferreth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors unto the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which were by nature no gods. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, as I am, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. My temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
My message I have received of the Lord. My title I draw from a saying of a man that many of us admire and appreciate. But the J.T. Pugh has a way of saying certain things, and praise God. And he said, the main thing, praise God, is to keep the main thing the main thing.
That's right.
And I want to talk about the main thing this morning. Because the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yes.
Praise God. I want to talk about the main thing. You can't preach on every side. You can't tell it all in one sermon. The initials to this conference, the SCORE, Southeast, I just bit my tongue. I don't mean that I'm not going to say what I want to say. I don't mean that kind of biting. I literally bit my tongue. Southeastern Conference on Revival and Evangelism. And I believe with all of my heart that you can't have true revival without true holiness. You can't have true revival without true consecration and true repentance. It takes it all. I believe it all with all of my heart. And what I'm about to say is not to be a boastful, but to express my feelings. Whatever a man stands for, he's got to fight for with his whole life, it seems like these days. Maybe it always has been that way. Maybe it's just seemingly more that way to me lately. But not just lately, but always. Since I've been pastoring 16 years in Bellevue, I have always seen that I've had to fight diligently for what we have. Seems like nothing has just come easy, and it doesn't for any of us. Anything I have to say today, if you're my elder, then just hear me out as a young man trying to express himself. And if you're my brother and my equal, then just hear me as a brother, just trying to open up my heart and bare my soul to you today. I have no great authority over anybody. I just want to use the authority of God's word. But I believe, I truly believe that you can have revival and still have good, solid holiness to go with it.
Yes.
I have never believed for one day that you had to throw out wholeness to have a big church.
Right.
I never believed for one day that you had to throw out sound doctrine to have a growing church.
Right.
That's a bunch of garbage and baloney from hell itself. I don't believe that you have to throw any good thing out to have revival.
Right.
Hallelujah. Pastor once, well, not long ago, I've heard it more than once, but recently I heard it again, that a pastor got up before his congregation and said, all I'm going to preach to you is revival and soul winning. He said, whatever you get teaching along the lines of holiness or whatever, so there may be other preachers come in and give you some help along that line, but I'm going to go into what they call total evangelism. Total evangelism.
Yeah.
I'm just going to preach evangelism and nothing else. You're going to hear it Sunday morning. You're going to hear it Sunday night. You're going to hear it Wednesday night or Thursday night or Tuesday night, whatever Bible study night. It's going to be total evangelism. Well, that is just simply not right. The scripture said that a bishop has to be apt to teach. And I believe that there is a certain balance that must be found in our walk with God and in all of our ministry and in all of our churches. I believe in all of it. Recently, I dismissed everybody that had been in the church 2 years or less. I dismissed them. I dismissed all the visitors. And I had a talk with the church. It's not the first time I did this, but every so often. And I told them, I said, let me tell you something. If you ladies are cutting your hair, if you've repented over it, then the blood's covered. And if you never intend to do it again, then I consider you a repented child of God and you can go on serving God. But if you're cutting your hair and you don't believe it's wrong, I want you to understand, you're not a member of this church. You never will be a member of this church. You can go where you want to go, do what you want to do, but you can't be a member of this church and believe it's okay for women to cut your hair. Furthermore, if you're deliberately, willfully breaking it off some other way, then you're, I want you to understand, if you don't feel no remorse or repentance about it, you're not a member of this church. About six years ago, before we built the new sanctuary, I got up on two Sunday mornings in a row with everybody there, visitors and all, and I don't know if it was the right thing or not, but I felt like doing it at the time. And I said, if you've been coming to this church a year or more and you still don't believe what I believe and what I preach about standards and holiness, I said, go find you another church. And at that time, we was running about 300, and we slid down to about 250 in the next month or so. So somebody went and found them another church. But God has replaced all that and more. I believe that. I just want to say that in all that I have to say today, I don't diminish any other subject. I don't diminish holiness when I talk about revival. I don't think we ought to calculate any preacher that way. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord a moment. The church in Galatia was a privileged people. Paul was wanting so desperately to go into Asia and preach, and the Holy Ghost forbid him. He wanted to go into Asia. He desired to go there. He wanted to preach the gospel because that great nation lay in darkness. They did not have the gospel. But God would not let him go there, but God did let him go to Galatia. I am sure that when Paul was writing this epistle, that he remembered how that he preached to them at the first, as I used in my text this morning. He remembered that first time he went and preached in Galatia, the revival there, the way the Holy Ghost turned that city upside down, the way they were so steeped in paganism, the heathenistic ways, so far from God and did not know who God was. But he preached Christ unto them, and they were turned from darkness to light by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those people, it didn't matter to them. Nothing mattered to them except that their burdens were rolled away. Nothing mattered to them except that they now walked in light wherein they lay in darkness. It means something. It means something. Look at people in airports, international airports, in the airports of our country. See the darkness and the cloud hanging over their face and their countenance. And see the difference between them and the congregation I'm looking at today. What a difference the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ makes in the lives of people. But as time progressed, and the Galatian church organized themselves, grouped themselves, and pulled themselves together, as time progressed, they lost sight of the main thing. They lost grip of why that they originally pulled themselves together and began to serve God from the very beginning. That's the reason I pray, Lord, take me back to the place where I first received you. Help me to remember. Help me to remember. Amen. I think that it is a very important thing to do for every child of God, for every church, for every preacher, for every fellowship of preachers, whether it be organized or unorganized per se. But everybody needs to ask themselves ever so often, why did I begin? Why am I here? Why did we begin? What is it really all about? Praise God. I do know that I was raised in Pentecost, and first place I went after I was born and came home from the hospital was to church. And there's where I learned to get used to all the noise and the music and the shouting and the praying, and there's where I learned to pray. There's where I learned to read the Bible. There's where I learned how to love truth. There's where I learned to shout, love to worship, learn to worship, and learn what is right and wrong. Was in the house of God. Since I can remember, that was it. I didn't always serve God, but I always went because T.W. Varnum seen to that. Amen. And you that don't know him are missing out on something. But I remember the year that I really committed myself to God, and the point where I confessed having received the Holy Ghost and really have served God since was in the old campgrounds here in Ocala. My father made me go there. I didn't want to go. He made me go. He paid my way and gave me spending money, which usually he'd make me earn my own way. But he seen that I was at a crossroads in my life. A very rebellious young teenage boy. I went to that youth camp. And I made up my mind that I was going to cause trouble. that I was going to get kicked out because I didn't want to be there. But about the third night of youth camp, God got a hold of my heart. I remember seeing the other young men and young ladies rejoicing and happy and free in the Lord. And I said, that's really what I need. And I remember the preacher preaching and the word of God gripping my heart. I went down to that old sawdust floor and under that old tabernacle. And believe you me, there was more dust than there was saw. And we shouted and we praised God until there was a glory cloud of pure dust under that tabernacle. I remember that after I got finished, I received the Holy Ghost, felt so great and so victorious. I loved everybody. I didn't have an enemy in the world, didn't have anything against anybody. I went to the restroom to look at myself in the mirror and to comb my hair and go greet the young ladies. And when I grinned at myself in the mirror, that dust had settled between every one of my teeth and I had a black outline around every one of my teeth. I brushed my teeth and combed the dust out of my hair and went to fellowship with God's people. But I'll never forget, I thought as I looked in that mirror, I don't care if my teeth are dusty. I don't care if my hair is messed up. I don't care if my clothes are dirty. I've got the Holy Ghost, and that's all that matters to me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Paul said that he concerned himself with this something. He said, lest after I preach to others, that I myself become a castaway. The main thing for me as a preacher is to be saved. Hallelujah. 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 Young man in our church, raised in our church, good young man, one of the most trusted young men I ever had in the church. Tremendous musician, tremendous young preacher, had a tremendous promising future. I could leave the church and go preach for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and he would take my place as a very young man, 20, 21 years old. And I could trust him to preach, and I would come back and have sometimes 6 or 8 brand new babes in Christ, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, many of whom are still in the church of this day, strong supporters and strong apostolic Christian people in the church that I pastor. This young man drifted and drifted until one day I caught him in the office, the Lord having revealed some things to me, and I confronted him about some sin. And he said, Brother Barnum, he said, I love the work of God. I love preaching. I love singing. I love music. He said, I've just let my heart drift. I've just let some things get in my craw. I've just let some things get in my way. I've lost my original purpose and meaning in being on that platform serving God. And he said, you know what I just made up my mind to? He said, I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. I knew my heart wasn't right with God. But he said, I just figured I'd just see how many people that I could get saved, even though I knew I myself was going to be lost. Here's a young man that had a tremendous promising future, and the anointing had begun to diminish and begin to ebb and fade away in his life. The wisdom that he possessed as a very young preacher began to slip away from him, and I began to notice it because the anointing of God was slipping away. And he purposed in his heart, I know I'm not going to be saved, but I'm going to still try to be a blessing to others. But that's not the main thing in anybody's life that's going to be a child of God that's going to go to heaven. The main thing is I've got to be saved. I've got to keep my heart right with God above all else. I believe that if I as a preacher I'm going to get up and preach to the church that I pastor, you people have got to learn to forgive. You can't hold grudges against people. You can't backbite and backstab and whisper. You can't do it. You can't look at one another across the congregation out of the corner of your eye and hold grudges against one another. If I believe that's going to send a saint in my church to hell, I've got to believe it could send me as a pastor to hell also. Thank you, Jesus. Somehow, we've got to keep the main thing the main thing.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is so relevant today to be here because Brother Wade Bass and I started preaching together. Brother Bass, I remember when we started preaching together that you made a statement and I concurred 100% wholeheartedly. And I've made the statement, no doubt, too. We're driving that old Mercury, whatever it was, Comet. And I remember you saying, I told the Lord that if he'd just give me gas to get from one revival to another, to help me make my car payments, that's all I wanted, Lord. I just want to be able to get from one revival to the next. That's all I'm asking for. Yes. And I believe the main thing was the main thing. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. We slept in some places. We preached in up not too far from Tallahassee when we were both teenagers. They put us in this house where this old widow woman had died and left it to the church. And the beds were them kind of beds that were so high you just about had to run and jump up on them to get on them. And the mattresses was every shade of yellow that you can imagine. Depending on how many layers was on it, I guess, as the shade of yellow. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. They had them good old, man, the most convenient light switches you ever saw. They had the light, the bare bulb in the middle with the pull string that they tied a string on and tied it over the bedstead, you know, where you could just kind of lay there and pick your toe up. Click, click, turn it off. Then the refrigerator had a motor on top. We'd buy milk, put it in there, and we'd go to the church. And Brother Bass and I would stay at the church, and we'd pray and study and talk to one another and preach to each other and pray and study. And then we'd go back home after church, after we had prayed all day at the church, and that hot house certainly wasn't air conditioned. And we'd go to that refrigerator. Well, that motor must have quit 5 minutes after we walked out. That milk could be hot and spoiled, and everything in the refrigerator was terrible. We'd have to go buy some more fresh milk. Then we got ready to take a bath or brush our teeth, or, God forbid, get a drink of water. And it smelled, there had to be a dead rat in the line. Had to be. That was the most putrid, awful, ugly, filthy water that you ever seen in your life. We had to go borrow water from the neighbors to put in a jug to brush our teeth and to drink. And when we took a bath, oh, mercy, you had to hold your nose to get in the bathtub. Oh, it was terrible. It was, I'm not talking about sulfur water. I'm talking about 10 times worse than that. It was horrible. I remember that. And the pillows and the beds were all lumped up, you know, from being wet so many times, I guess, and just all old cotton mattresses all lumped up together. We got through preaching that week. We got about $21 apiece. And we went on our way. Went on our way, just excited that we was preaching. Just excited that we were evangelizing the world. Just excited that we were world-known evangelists having a great time serving God. Lord, if $21 will get us from this revival to the next, that's all that matters to us. We just want to keep the main thing the main thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when I was just preaching my first few sermons, I asked the Lord, I said, now, Lord, I never thought I'd preach. I got the Holy Ghost and people started saying I was a preacher. And I never said I was a preacher until several people were saying I was and recognizing it. That wasn't my desire. I didn't even know I'd be a preacher. I never dream of pastoring a church that could pay me enough to drive a car, you know, pay payments on a car. I never even thought about that. I got the Holy Ghost because I was so sick of miserable sin. I prayed because I wanted to be saved. I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I went to the altar that night. I didn't go to the altar that night and say, Lord, I tell you what, now we're going to make a proposition here. I'm going to give my heart to you, and you're going to take all my miserable sins away and give me the Holy Ghost. And then I want to pastor the biggest church in Florida. I want to drive the biggest car in Florida, and I want to wear the finest suits in Florida. I want the most friends of anybody in Florida. I want to preach the most camp meetings and conferences of anybody in the world. I want to be a great world-known preacher. Let me tell you, when I went to that altar, the only thing I wanted was to get my sins taken away and to get God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. That's all that mattered to me. We was raised, Daddy always provided, but we wasn't rich. We were just poor people. That's right. Our greatest entertainment was getting a block of wood and getting out on the dirt. Cars, we was lucky to get one of them, a real genuine car with wheels, all four wheels on it. My first bicycle had one pedal on it. Peg leg bicycle. Boy, I got with it. Loved it. Thought I was great. Have a one leg, one peg, I'll get it in a minute, one pedal bicycle. That was great. Our entertainment was climbing trees and swinging off of swings made out of moss stuffed in a Kirker sack. Seeing how many could pile on there at one time. I mean, you know, that's where it was. That's what it was. You know, Pentecost has come a long way. Pentecost has come a long way. The main thing is not always the main thing anymore. Indeed. It's not always the main thing. We, as I continue to preach, I remember the nights that I spent in prayer. I remember searching of my heart as a young single man. Oh God, more than anything in this world, I want to make sure that I'm saved. And so when I get married, help me, Lord, to marry the one that's going to help me and not hinder me. That was my own. When I prayed, I was so sincere. I still try to be. But I was so sincere that whether she was the most beautiful girl in the world or not, whether she was the most talented girl in the world or not, that's not the main thing. The main thing is, Lord, I want somebody that's going to help me be saved. I want somebody that's going to help me reach others. That was the main thing in my life. And, you know, as time goes on, Pentecost goes a long way. We have a tendency to forget. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to read just a little bit there. Beginning with verse 5. He said, who are kept by the power of God. Let me get over to 2 Peter. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Everybody say virtue. Virtue. Everybody say knowledge. Knowledge. Everyone say temperance. Temperance. Everyone say patience. Patience. Everyone say godliness. Godliness. Everyone say brotherly kindness. Brotherly. Everyone say charity. Charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The world's most dreaded disease, at least the Christian's most dreaded disease, should be this thing called amnesia. That we could somehow forget where God brought us from. When I started preaching at 16 years old, my father and Elder Bass and these brethren were in a fellowship here in Florida called the MAA. There is no doubt in my mind the fellowship began out of a desire of just good fellowship. And out of a desire to help establish new churches, to pool money and pull sources together and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I watched, as a very young man, I watched a good, clean fellowship begin to deteriorate. I heard among the inner circle people, you know, over here about this one, and somebody over here about that one. And in the motel room, and in the back of the tabernacle, and in the front of the tabernacle, and over there in the cabin, and over here in this, and over on that side of the campgrounds. I think it's another thing. And somewhere, somebody forgot why we started. Somebody forgot what the original purpose and what the main thing was. Yeah. Fellowship is to be treasured. Reaching the world is to be treasured. It can only be done through a unification of God's people, wherein that we keep the main thing, the main thing. You know, the only thing that holds some groups together is being able to see eye to eye on 99% of all issues. I remember when double knit suits came out. I remember the C.E. Neal preaching against them. I remember that. Old sissified clothing, I tell you. Boy, he lamb blasts that sissified stuff. Of course, 3 or 4 years later, he was wearing double knit. Somebody bought him one for his birthday. He's wearing a double knit suit. And things of this nature can build and build and build and build until we forget what the main thing is all about. Friend, I don't believe by no means that people need to just mix and match with any old thing and every old thing. But when brethren come together like precious faith, if the main thing is not kept the main thing, there is no unity. There is no evangelism. You can just take evangelism revival and just mark it off of that and just call it Southeastern Conference if there's no unity among the brethren. If we don't keep the main thing, revival is the main thing. Evangelism is the main thing. If we don't keep the main thing, there is no revival. There is no evangelism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must ask ourselves, why did we begin? Thank God. I remember a few years ago, we got together, and Brother Elder Bass and Brother Wade Bass and myself, and we got together and got to talking and met with another preacher, and we got to kind of trying to regroup some good independent brethren in Florida and fellowship and have a good time, a revival. I'm telling you, friend, churches, almost every church in this fellowship circle was experiencing tremendous revival. It's a fact. I mean, far more churches even that are included right now in this particular circle of fellowship. I mean, where revival was taking place. Brother McClure was growing. The Basses were growing. The Barnum's churches were growing. And all these other, that Brother Wiggins having revival. Throughout the state of Florida, I'm telling you, people were growing. In Tallahassee, Brother Lane was there then. He was growing by leaps and bounds. Fantastic things happening. I believe the original purpose of our fellowship should always be the original purpose of our fellowship. And that is to encourage and to strengthen the brethren. To pull men together. To perfect one another. I don't believe we ought to get our feelings out on our shoulder, and somebody says something we don't necessarily agree with, we got to go off somewhere and pull ourselves away. Friend, it don't matter to me what kind of a little old idea that somebody's got, if it's not contrary to the word and if it's not sinful and ungodly. I believe we need to keep the main thing the main thing. I don't believe in saints swapping churches and moving here and there and yonder. But at one time or another, most of us have had somebody leave our church. And for somebody to hold grudges and get mad and get all bent out of sorts, there are several churches in Florida that's got people that once was in our church. And that's no reason for somebody to break fellowship and to get upset and pull away and get aggravated and all out of sorts about it. I believe we ought to be ethical and full of principle one toward another. But somehow there's got to be the blood of Jesus involved. There's got to be forgiveness. There's got to be a time of fellowship. Well, I don't have just a very short time more left, so I won't go over. But I feel that we should keep the main thing, the main thing. If we forget what we were purged from, James 1 and 24 tells us that a man that is a hearer only, not a doer of the word, that he is like a man who looks in a looking glass, in a mirror, and then he goes and forgets what manner of man he was. What manner of man he was. You know why I'm merciful? It's because the Bible said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I intend to live right. I intend to do right. I intend to keep my heart right. I intend to go to heaven. But blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Yes. Hallelujah. The main thing is I want mercy because I want to be saved. And the main thing in God's church work is that we reach others who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. In pastoring, I see that every now and then, Brother Atkinson was saying earlier, every now and then I catch myself on this rampage. I catch myself way out here somewhere because I see things in the church and I see people that have needs and I'm just swatting at things and I'm just running after things, trying to capture this and corner that and straighten this out and do that. And I catch myself and sometimes I just come to myself and I say, what am I doing? The main thing is no longer the main thing. I'm supposed to be here trying to reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these people that I'm running after and swatting at and trying to corner them and straighten them out, they're going to always be doing that. I've found that people are just always going to be somebody. If it ain't the young people, it's the young marriage. If it's not the young marriage, it's the old folks. If it's not the old folks, it's the middle-aged folks. It seems like the devil's always got somebody stirred up doing something they ought not do. And in the meantime, that's just what the devil wants, is to get our mind off the main thing and get us swatting at something that's going to be that way till Jesus comes.
Right.
The main thing becomes whether or not I was recognized at a conference. The main thing becomes whether or not I got to sing my song. The main thing becomes whether or not I got to play my musical instrument. The main thing becomes whether or not somebody shook my hand just right. Or whether I was included in at the table when someone was sitting and eating. It becomes the main thing to people. It becomes the main thing whether I can drive as nice of a car as Brother So-and-so. Or whether I have a church as big as Brother So-and-so. Or whether I have, my wife wears a dress as nice as Sister So-and-so. The main thing becomes the wrong thing after a while if we're not careful. The main thing is does he think he's better than me? Lord have mercy. When we got the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, yeah, every preacher got the Holy Ghost. At least they're supposed to have. Yeah, every one of us dignified necktie preachers, we all got that there and snotted one time too. At least once. Yeah, we did. We got that. We all got the Holy Ghost. That's our roots. Our roots is not our first sermon. Our roots is not our first pastorate or our first revival. Our roots is our first prayer at the altar. When we get ready to go back to the main thing, we don't trace it back just to our first pastorate or our first revival. We trace it back to the altar when we first received the Holy Ghost in that most humble place. Lord, help us to keep the main thing the main thing. I ask you to receive this as though I was just preaching to empty pews and preaching to myself today, if that's the way you have to do it, to keep from taking me wrong. But I want you to understand that if we don't keep the main thing, we can just blot out revival and evangelism, and we can just start talking about pit bulldogs. Because they are specially bred. They're not that way by nature. They took the most vicious of the vicious and bred it with the most vicious of the vicious. And they took the most vicious of the vicious of the vicious and bred it with so on and so on and so on. Until they've come up with a dog that is so vicious that it gets totally out of hand, that caused absolute panic about a year or so ago in America. And I know the media blew it up, made a big deal out of it, but nevertheless, they are a breed that are specially bred by breeding the most vicious with the most vicious. You ever been to fellowship meetings like that? Yeah. Every man got up and see how tough he could be with, one guy got up and the other guy, bless God, we wear our dresses, our women wear our dresses 3 inches below the knee. Well, ours were there 4 inches below the knee. Well, ours were there, we don't measure from the knee, we measure from the floor.
That is right.
And the vicious is bred with the most vicious.
Yeah.
And after a while, they get into a hold together. Until they won't let each other go. They don't know how to do anything but fight. God deliver us from whispering and backbiting. God deliver me. God deliver us. God deliver us. Brother Charlie Mahaney says, man come up to him talking about a preacher one time and he said, shut up. And the guy said, beg your pardon. He said, read my lips. Oh God, help us to keep the main thing the main thing. Oh, God, help us. Yes. I want to be saved and I want others to be saved. That's the main thing. I want to make sure that I keep my eye in the right place.
Right.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. The only reason you're still in the church today is because of God's forgiveness. Because of your forgiveness. Because you're not going to be in the church long before somebody crosses you. You're not going to be in the church long before somebody disappoints you. That's right. The reason that we are still in the church is because we kept the main thing. The main thing. Oh, God. If the only thing holding the fellowship together is being able to see eye to eye on every issue, then a fellowship will no longer remain together. Because I'm telling you that if we keep the main thing will stick together. But if we squabble and argue and fuss over things that don't amount to a hill of beans.
Right.
Everybody right now has got something in your mind that you think I'm talking about. And everybody's probably got something different in your mind. I'm telling you, it don't matter if it's double knit suits or whether you part your hair in the middle or on the side. Or whether you use three rows hair oil or white rain hairspray. God help us to keep the main thing, the main thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord a moment. Would you with me? The Lord be glorified. The Lord be praised. The Lord be worshiped and honored. Thank you, dear Father. 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 Thank you.